The following is a lecture to Girls Forum entitled How to Find Happiness, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 7th, 2014, in Noida, India.
So I have come here today to speak to you about the search for happiness. But I can tell you one thing. If you don't find it, your search was useless. Therefore, you must find happiness. And if you want to find actual happiness, then the Srimad Bhagavatam tells you exactly how to find happiness. Tasman gurum rapanje cha jagashu shaya uttamam shabde pare tanishnatam brahmani upadamashayam. Anybody who is seeking genuine happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The bona fide spiritual master is then defined in this verse. You can know where to find one. He has realized the conclusion of the Vedic literatures by the liberation and is thus able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have left aside all other considerations, taking complete shelter of the Supreme Godhead, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. So if you want actual happiness, shreya uttamam, you need a guru. You have to have a guru. Of course, if you're interested in superficial happiness, you don't need a guru. You just need some money, some sense gratification. But what good is that happiness? It is shrama eva kevalam. Such superficial happiness of the skin simply leads you into hell. That's so. Those who are intelligent, they're not interested in such so-called happiness. You know, society, friendship and love. It is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. Smaran bhangi draya pachitam sachi vishtir narishtim vangshinasta akishalayam ujvanam jandakena govindakyam haritanamitaha keshi tirtapakante ma prakshishtadayavi sake bandhu sange stirangaha. One gopi, she told her gopi girlfriend, "My dear girlfriend, if you go to Jamuna tonight at Keshiga, you will see this smiling boy, Govinda. He's so beautiful with his threefold bending form. He's putting his flute to his lips, which are like, they're just like newly blossomed twigs, his transcendental body shining so brightly in the moonlight. Is very, very enchanting and wonderful." So, my dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any desire to enjoy in the company of society, friendship and love, then don't you dare go to Jamuna tonight. So what did that gopi do? Did she go home to her husband and kids? No. She went to the Jamuna bank. And what did she do? She fell in love with Krishna. Ah, Krishna. I now give myself to Krishna. So, it's your choice, girls. You can be interested in society, friendship, and love, superficial happiness, you know, so-called happiness, which will fade away very quickly. Or you can go after the love of Krishna. It's your choice. You can give your love to Krishna, the supreme, beautiful, transcendental personality. You can give your love to Krishna and become one of his eternal associates in the spiritual sky. Never to get old, never to get sick, never to die. But it takes a little austerity, a little discipline, because the present moment, because we have grown up in a society of sense gratification, an atmosphere of sense gratification, our tendency is towards sense gratification. All the Bollywood movies, all the advertisements, you know, all the magazines is saying sense pleasure, sense pleasure, sense pleasure, sense pleasure. The culture now, the youth culture in the schools, everywhere you go, it's sense pleasure, sense pleasure, sense pleasure. But it's a nightmare. It's actually a nightmare. Why? Because such a culture of sense pleasure ties you into a lie. And what is that lie? That you are that body. It's a big lie. You're not a girl, you're not a boy, you're not a man, you're not a woman. This is false. You're an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, if you're intelligent, you will utilize your intelligence, you will utilize your mind, you will utilize your eyes, your ears, your nose, your tongue, you will utilize everything to reconnect yourself with your eternal identity as the servant of Krishna, as confirmed in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jivero Svarupa Hoi Krishnara Nitya Das. The constitutional position of the living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. So do you want to run after an illusion? You want to spend your life chasing the illusion of so-called pleasure of this material world? You can do that if you want. That's what 99.9999% of the world population is doing right now. They're stupid. They're idiots. If you want to be an idiot along with them, you can do that. You see. But a sane person says, this is nonsense. Somehow or other, I was fortunate. I don't know how it happened, but when I was a young boy, we're talking back in 1965, long time ago. My freshman year in college, somehow or other, by God's grace, I got a little intelligence. I don't know how it happened. You know, sometimes I think maybe that was just the time when Prabhupada landed in America. Maybe by his Shakti, I don't know. But at the same time, September 1965, Prabhupada arrived in America. Just at that time, I developed a new mentality. Instead of thinking how I could be, you know, successful in the material world, I began to think, what is the use of this material world? I hadn't met the devotees yet, but I was a freshman in college, and I was thinking, well, here I am working hard, you know, to make good grades, to get a good degree, to get a nice pretty wife, to get some good kids, a nice house, a nice car, and get a very nice grave buried 6 feet under some really good flowers once a year, every year on my tomb until they forget about me. What is the point of working like a donkey here at this college to make good grades for this purpose? It just didn't make one paisa worth of sense to me. Not even a lousy paisa worth of sense did it make to me. You see? Why should I struggle like this? We were taking a course. It was a little college of only 1,000 students. Austin College in Sherman, Texas. North part of Texas, near the Oklahoma border. And there was a course that all the students in the whole college had to take. It was called Basic Studies. Of course, that was the standing joke on the campus. Yeah, it's time to go for BS, Basic Studies. You see, BS 101, BS 102. It was kind of like the joke, you know, you have BS. So, this course was a overview from many different perspectives of the entire Western civilization, beginning from what was said to be the cradle of Western civilization, namely what is now called Iraq. A culture which came out of Iraq. We're supposed to think this is a great culture. You can see what's happening in Iraq nowadays. So our culture was said to have come from Iraq, the Tigris and Euphrates civilization, which later the Greeks came and the Romans came. So we studied all the great philosophers, the great teachers. We studied the architecture, the literature, many different angles in this basic studies course. We studied the Roman philosophers, the Stoics, who said, well, you just have to tolerate the suffering. That's all you can do. You just got to be tough. When all the suffering comes, you just got to be tough. What? You see? Nothing really told me how I could be happy. There was not one book, not one teacher, not one philosopher. There was nothing there. But then, I transferred to a different school and I met one of my fellow students named Bob Singleton. He told me about this book about self-realization. I never heard of it before. How you could become self-realized and you could achieve a state of unlimited bliss. Wow, that got me interested. Oh, really? They didn't teach that in school. So I began a search for a guru who could teach me how to become self-realized. And I went through many bogus gurus. The first guru had me staring at a candle. You turn off all the lights in your room, you put a candle there and you stare at the candle and you become self-realized. You see, that didn't work. Then I went to another guru, he taught me a mantra. I got initiated actually with a second guru and became a disciple, so-called disciple. There was no rules and regulations. I mean, you could have illicit sex, you could eat meat. It was okay. Everything was okay. You just had to chant a mantra 20 minutes twice a day. Aing, 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 aing. You do it silently, you see. Aing, 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 aing. I was chanting that mantra, but nothing happened. I didn't feel that I was lifting off from the material plane into a spiritual dimension. I felt like an airplane going off down the runway trying to lift off and never being able to lift off, like an endless runway. You keep taxiing down the runway faster, 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 but there's no liftoff, you see. But you never lift off, you see. Finally, I had some friend, his name was Patrick Dolan. And he turned me on to this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I hadn't met the devotees, nor was he a devotee. But he had heard the devotees chanting in Haight-Ashbury, and he really had faith in the power of the mantra. He really did. He really had faith in the power of the mantra. So he taught it to me, and I got a picture of Krishna. I put it in my apartment. I made an altar. I was offering my food to Krishna. I was chanting Hare Krishna every day. And I think, well, I was enrolled in a college, Metropolitan State College, in Denver, Colorado. But I was thinking, I can't relate to this Western culture. I mean, what am I going to do here? Get a career? You know, get a job and a career? Doesn't make any sense. I'm just going to go to India and become a sadhu, a mendicant, a holy beggar in India. That was my decision. So I packed up all my stuff, shipped it to my parents' house. And I was going to head out to New York to get a job on a freighter, to get a free passage to India to become a sadhu in India. But then something said, don't go to India, go to San Francisco. Don't give up the world. Don't leave the world. You must stay in the world and save the world. That was the message I got. You're not supposed to leave the world. You're supposed to stay in the world to save the world. So instead of going to India to renounce the world, I went to San Francisco to save the world. And I didn't know how that was going to happen, or I had no idea what was going on. I'm just trying to follow my heart. And I got to San Francisco, the famous neighborhood of the hippie era called Haight-Ashbury. And I walked down into the famous park where all the hippies used to hang out, called Golden Gate Park. And there they were, the Hare Nam party. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So I could have surrendered immediately, but the trouble was I was a Mayavadi, you see. I knew for sure I was Krishna because of Mayavadi philosophy. What's the point of surrendering? Didn't make any sense because I'm Krishna. Surrender to Krishna, I'm already surrendered to Krishna because I am Krishna. I'm serving my own desires, so I'm already surrendered to Krishna, you see. Because of Mayavadi philosophy, I couldn't surrender. But I like to go with the devotees and chant, take prasadam. But you know, philosophically, I was completely off the track. I started a career as a singer-songwriter and became a little bit popular with the young people. But then my career started going really sour. Somebody walked up to me, they said, "I hate your music." I was shocked. And I started getting a little sober, thinking, well, I really need to get back to this idea of becoming self-realized. And so I've been raised as a Christian. So I started reading the Bible every morning because I knew Jesus was a self-realized soul, you see. I wanted to be like Jesus, a self-realized, God-conscious being. So I was trying to figure out what made Jesus this great enlightened being that he was. What was his secret? So I can do the same thing, you see? So I was reading the Bible every day trying to figure out what made Jesus a self-realized soul. And one day I found it. Jesus says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." Now think about this for a minute. Krishna says, give up everything else and just surrender to me. Jesus says, my dear Lord, let me forget everything else and just surrender to you. It's the same instruction from a different perspective, that's all. So I understood that was perfection. You do what you give up doing what you want, you just do what God wants you to do, you fully surrender to God. I realized that. Now I was ready for Krishna consciousness, you see. I finally realized I wasn't Krishna because I was suffering like hell. And I finally realized I have to surrender to the will of God now. What does God want me to do? I don't know. But so I started praying every day, my dear Lord, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. Well, that was a good prayer, wasn't it? That was my prayer. Dear God, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant. That was actually a very perfect prayer that God inspired me to pray. It was a perfect prayer. And then what happened? Krishna answered my prayer. He sent us. You ever heard of Vishnu Janaswami? Anybody heard of Vishnu Janaswami? You've heard of him, yeah. He's one of the early ISKCON sannyasis, one of the first sannyasis in ISKCON. Well, he came to our town. Krishna sent him there to answer my prayer, and he convinced me to become a devotee. So here I am. (clears throat) 43 years later, still chanting Hare Krishna and telling people they should surrender to Krishna and give up the stupid pursuit of material sense gratification. Don't be an idiot. I was an idiot, you see. But I realized that there was a dead-end street. I mean, you know, we're raised as idiots. You know, no offense, but in this material world is an idiotic society, and we are raised as idiots who don't really know what is the absolute truth. That's the reality. We are taught to be fools and rascals by our parents, by our educators, by our leaders. We are trained how to be first-class idiots. I mean, I hope I didn't step on anybody's toes, but I have to tell the truth. We are trained how to become mudhas, asses. So don't be an ass. Don't be a mudha. Don't be a fool. Don't be a rascal. Hear from the self-realized devotees of the Lord. Hear from Krishna. And get yourself out of Maya. Become a devotee of Krishna. Become a pure devotee of Krishna, you see. You should make this determined. This will be my last lifetime in the material world. I've gotten this human birth. It is the greatest opportunity to get out of all the suffering that I've gone through for millions of lifetimes. Do you know how much you've been suffering in this material world? Do you have any idea how much you've been suffering here? No, you've forgotten it. You know why? Sometimes people say, well, why God doesn't give us remembrance of all the suffering we went through to help us surrender? Well, I'll tell you what. You ever heard of, we have a doctor here today. You're familiar with post-trauma, what is it? Syndrome. What is the full name? Post-trauma stress disorder. So how many of you have heard, it is a psychological disease called post-trauma stress disorder. Just like when the terrorists, Al-Qaeda terrorists blew up the World Trade Center, those people who survive, who are in the building but survive the attack, they have horrible nightmares every night. And, you know, they're suffering from post-trauma stress disorder. They went through a very traumatic thing, and they're tortured by these memories. They can't sleep peacefully. They're like in a tortured state of mind. So if you were to remember your previous lifetimes, you would be suffering right now from post-trauma stress disorder. So you have forgotten these previous lifetimes. That is God's special blessing upon you, so you can sleep peacefully at night, so you can, you know, chant Hare Krishna and focus your mind on the holy names of the Lord peacefully. So this is why we don't remember our previous lifetimes. It was such a hellish thing that we would be a psychological basket case if we were to remember our previous lifetimes. So the Lord has very kindly given us forgetfulness, as he states in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, I am the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So you blessed my forgetfulness of all the hell you went through in previous lifetimes. But now you should wake up and realize this material world is a miserable place. No matter what I may do here to become happy, it will not be successful. Even if you become a demigod on the heavenly planet with huge amounts of opulence, all kinds of wealth and longevity and beauty, even in the Lord Brahma cannot be happy in his abode. It's stated and it's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartinarjana mam upechita kaunteya punarjanma navijyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So, don't think you can be happy here. Do not think you can be happy in this material world. Don't be deluded. There's only one way you can be happy here, and that is to awaken your dormant Krishna consciousness. If you do that, you will have unlimited happiness at every minute. If you awaken your Krishna consciousness, you will achieve transcendental happiness, which transcends, that's why it's called transcendental happiness. It transcends any kind of material situation you may find yourself in. Pleasant situations, unpleasant situations, whether you're honored, whether you're dishonored, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're male, whether you're female. All these dualities come and go like the changes of the seasons. But if you will awaken your Krishna consciousness, you will be happy in every situation, not based on that situation, but based on your relationship with Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So that science is taught by Srila Prabhupada. That, if you study his books, that science is taught by the bona fide spiritual master who faithfully enlightens you to understand what is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. So kindly take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement. And we have an opportunity now for questions and answers. You have to write them on a piece of paper. Does anybody have any paper? We have an opportunity for questions and answers. I love answering questions, by the way. So if you want to make me happy, write me some nice, some challenging questions, some tough questions. The tougher the better. But I've come here today to guide you how to awaken your dormant Krishna consciousness. You are young women, and you face many challenges ahead of you in this material world. It's not an easy place for a woman. Let's be frank, okay? This material world is not an easy place for a woman. Women are exploited like anything in this material world. So how to be happy in a world in which women are exploited? The only way you can really do it is to awaken your Krishna consciousness. You need to reconnect with that supreme non-exploiter of women, Lord Sri Krishna. Gopi Bhartu Kapada Kamalayar Dasa Dasa Nidasa. You have to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopi girls of Vrindavan. So now we will take some questions. You said that striving hard in college to earn grades, to get a good job, to get married and all is useless. Does that mean that one should not study hard and should not get married and his only job should be Hare Krishna? And why did the Lord create this world? That's a good question. I'm not telling you to drop out of school like I do. I mean, I had a certain nature. I'll be honest with you, I had a certain nature. And I couldn't fit into the material world. I was a misfit. I just couldn't, no matter how hard I tried to fit in, it wasn't a fit for me. I had to be something different. I had to be a teacher of the absolute truth. That's the only thing I could really do. There's nothing else I could do. So, but it's not that everyone in the society, you have Brahmins, you have Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everyone has certain natures. So actually I have many disciples now all over the world. I never encourage them to drop out of school and just become preachers like what I did. I encourage them that, all right, you're in school. Now you should excel in school for Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a mundane career working for the British government. So such a lifestyle is not unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. According to your nature, you should act accordingly. So I would instruct you. You should do well in school. Make good grades. Become qualified very nicely. Actually, according to Vedic culture, the girls are meant to stay at home and not to have careers. That, of course, may be a controversial point nowadays, but Prabhupada clearly stated that. At the same time, because men are so unreliable nowadays, it's good to have an education just in case you get in trouble with some deadbeat husband who doesn't properly take care of you. So we encourage you to go ahead and get your education. But actually, according to Vedic culture, the girl stays at home, the woman stays at home, and the man earns a living. See, formerly, you didn't have women in the workplace. This is a modern day invention. Trouble with women in the workplace is they get the men take advantage of them for sexual activities. They're away from their husband. They're in an unprotected situation. So there are problems with the modern day system. When I was a kid growing up in the U.S., all the ladies stayed at home, and the men went to work. Except for school teachers, there was a very few ladies were actually in the workplace in those days. School teachers, secretaries, there was a few. I personally, when I got married, this is my wife here, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, and I never sent her out to work because to me, she's a goddess. And I couldn't imagine her working for some karmi boss. That was my... Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine. How could I submit this great personality? She's actually very tired right now. We hardly slept last night. But how could I send this great saintly goddess? To me, she's like a goddess. How could I send her out to some karmi workplace to work for some materialistic person? I couldn't imagine it. But she has always said that if there's an emergency, the wife should be willing to work, you see, if there's some urgent need. So we're not against education, but understand the Vedic system is actually the ladies, ladies stay at home and take care of the children. Not that the husband and wife both work and send the kids to daycare. It's not a very good system. The ideal system is you have a nice Krishna conscious husband, and you create a wonderful atmosphere at home for the children to become Krishna conscious. I'll give you a nice example. We have one very nice Mataji in our movement, Amrutha Devi Dasi. She's there in Boise, Idaho. And she had two sons. Her first son, his name is Ravi Gupta. And Instead of sending Ravi to the public school, she kept Ravi at home and she became his teacher. She homeschooled Ravi. And you know what? By the age 13, well, let me back up a little bit. She used as a primer to teach him how to read? Srimad Bhagavatam. This kid became a genius. He was writing a column for the city newspaper, a Carmi newspaper. The city of Boise, Idaho, ran a column of his writing in BT, Back to Godhead magazine. He had a column in Back to Godhead magazine also in the U.S. In the age 13, he entered the university, and now he's a big Sanskrit professor in the U.S. The university is a big, big Sanskrit professor. So this is a wonderful thing. The husband went to work. The wife stayed at home. She homeschooled the kids. The younger brother followed the younger one, the older one. She educated the younger brother also at home. So we're not saying don't get an education, but we're saying that's not the Vedic system. You can do it because it may come in handy in the future. Nowadays, men are not so reliable sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to get a husband who can really be responsible. So if you have your own way to protect yourself with some proper education, there's no harm. There's no harm. But actually the Vedic system is to keep the ladies protected at home. In the workplace, they become objects of exploitation. She's there without her husband, and the men are all looking at her, and they're thinking this and this and this and this and this. All these dirty things, you see. So, but we encourage you, because I know my godbrother Tamal Krishna Goswami, he encouraged all of his female disciples to get a good education. So we encourage you to do that. But the actual Vedic system, you should know. You can have a good Krishna conscious husband. Actually, I know one girl, she became very, very educated. She's a very Krishna conscious girl. Her father is a very, very powerful like leader in the business world in Toronto. A big, big, powerful Indian, Hindu gentleman, with an initiated devotee of, I think, Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Very, very powerful person in the business world. So his daughter became very inspired to also become big in the business world. She got an MBA, you know, really worked really hard to get up there. After she got situated there, she's in a big position, a big corporation, MBA. You know, I just want to get married and be at home. After she went all the way, got the MBA, got a big position in the corporate world. Now, I don't really want this. It's not my nature. I'd rather just be at home, have a good husband, and that's what she realized after getting the big MBA and getting her big position in the corporate world. I'm not really meant for the corporate world. You see? Very Krishna conscious girl, actually. She's a very Krishna conscious girl. And so she was given all encouragement. She wants to get that big degree, get her MBA, and become a big, big person in the corporate world. She made it, but then she realized, hey, this is not really my nature. You see? So we encourage you, yeah, getting an education, but really the Vedic system is a much better system than the modern day system. I mean, it used to be, nowadays to support the family, you got to have a husband and wife both working. But that it wasn't that way when I was a kid in the U.S. In India, it must have been a similar thing. Just one person working supported the family. But now we take, let's get everybody out there working, send the husband out to work, send the wife out to work, send the kids out to work part-time also, get everybody working. There's no family life anymore, everybody's working. The husband comes home, the wife is still at work, they don't see each other, you know, and the kids are in daycare. It's crazy. Where's the family life? You see what I'm saying? So we've created a society which we're just working like asses. work, get out there, go through a 3-hour commute to get some job, work out. It's crazy. We have created an insane culture because we've taken God out of the center. We have to put God back in the center. You see? We're not meant to work some a slave 8 hours a day max. 40 hours a week max. You see? One member of the family. Our society should be in such a way that the husband can work 40 hours a week, the wife can stay home, make a wonderful atmosphere in the home, make it clean and like a heavenly planet, make the house so wonderful with nice prasadam, nice puja going on regularly, everything clean and neat, everything pakka, you see. But we've created a culture where we're living like rats in a cage, you see. So anyway, we have to make the best use of a bad bargain. So get your education, do well in school. That's all right. But understand the real purpose of life is self-realization. So I've really gone on that one question. I don't know how much. We only have about 15 minutes left. We have to go on at 5 to our next destination. But that really got me riled up at questions. I have a whole stack of questions. Let me see if I can burn through them really quick. How do I decide whether renunciation or live as a grihastha? People say girls can't handle renunciation. Actually, ideally, Baba said all the girls should be married. If a girl wanted, he didn't force any girl to get married. If she wanted to be a brahmacharini, he facilitated that. But just like I remember Arundhati in Boston, Prabhupada arranged, in the early days, Prabhupada personally arranged, just like a parent arranges marriages, Prabhupada personally arranged for marriages. He married 3 couples off, and he wanted Arundhati to marry somebody, and she refused. Because, you know, Americans aren't used to arranged marriages, right? So she refused. And now she's the only brahmacharini, and everybody else in the ashram, everybody else in the temple's married. And then she wanted to get married after that. And she did. And she married Prajumna, one of the... Prabhupada got her married to Prajumna, who's one of the big scholars of our movement in the old days. So, you know, we don't force you to get married, but actually marriage in the long run is the best thing for a woman because, I'll tell you, you read the newspapers, women are exploited like in India. It's a big thing now. Women are really being exploited. And to have a husband who's protecting you, who's looking after you personally to see you're always safe and protected, your personal bodyguard. Is it? Your husband is your personal bodyguard. It's very good to have a husband, actually, because women, you see, a young boy can travel all over the world. Prabhupada said a 16-year-old boy can travel all over the world with not much trouble. A 16-year-old girl, traveling all over the world by yourself, big trouble, you see. So women are meant to be protected from unscrupulous men who will exploit them. We live in a demoniac society and men do exploit women like crazy. So to be married is very good. Protect you from being exploited. How to become the true student of Krishna? Well, you have to accept a spiritual master. As a girl in India, we are required to abide by social conventions and are persecuted and are pressured into certain situations, then how we should become practically Krishna conscious. I don't know all the details of that, but whether you're talking about the material society or in the temple, it's hard to answer that question. But the main thing is always try to please Krishna, you see. It's not that the men are in control or the women are in control or whatever. Krishna's in control. And we're all trying to just do what pleases Krishna. So if you take that mood, you'll be okay. Nowadays, my exams are becoming very stressed, so what should I do? This is what that girl in Toronto did. She came home from a heavy day at her MBA school, and she had all these papers to write. She had an exam to study for. It was late at night. She looked at her textbooks and there was her bead bag over there. And she said, what should I do? She was bewildered. here's her bead bag over here, and here's all her assignments and the papers she has to write and the exam she has to study for. She said, put Krishna first. As soon as she did that, then everything else became, oh, I'm studying this exam for Krishna. I'm writing this paper for Krishna. Everything became for Krishna because she put her japa first. So always do your japa first, and then you won't be stressed anymore. If you put Krishna last, I guarantee you will be stressed. You will be stressed. If you put Krishna first, you will not be stressed. There's a simple formula for you. These days, life is very busy. Job is important, so how to get progress in spiritual life? Well, job isn't that important. It's your spiritual life. You have to always remember, my spiritual life is more important than my job. Because your body will fall down and die today or tomorrow, but your relationship with Krishna will never die. So always put Krishna first and your job second. Does there any power of God exist in the universe? Yes. Then why God takes test of our patience? Actually, God doesn't give us any trouble at all. God is making everything easy for us, but we are making it difficult for ourselves by forgetting God. That's all. Don't think that God is mistreating you. You are mistreating Him. He's giving you everything, but you're not acknowledging it. You're thinking you are great. That's the problem. Sometimes materialistic people seem to be more peaceful and happy than devotees. How we should understand that? It's superficial. They may appear to be happy now, but wait till tomorrow when death comes to the door. They'll be completely bewildered. The devotee is always in a better position. It is our responsibility to take care of our aging parents, is it? Or is it considered as material attachment which should be given up? Well, the thing is, you should make your parents Krishna conscious. And then by doing that, you're taking care of them in their old age. You're serving devotees and helping them to go back to Godhead. If all you do is take care of their body and you don't actually help them to become Krishna conscious, it's not so good. Given a choice between staying home, becoming full-time devotee in the temple, which one is advisable? There's so many different particulars here. So many different, you know. To give a blanket answer for these situations, we have to actually talk to the individual, see what is the situation. Are your parents Krishna conscious? Are they not? Are they trying to become Krishna conscious? We'd have to analyze the specifics before we can give an answer to them. Krishna consciousness is a state of mind, so why can't we survive in this world and maintain that state of mind? You can. Because then we would have awesome personalities. It's always necessary to give up worldly pleasures. Worldly pleasures are not really pleasures. There's such thing as a worldly pleasure, really. They're worldly nightmares. If you make your pleasure in Krishna, you'll enjoy like anything at every minute. You don't need any worldly pleasure. All you need is a pleasure of Krishna consciousness. If you think you need worldly pleasure, that's an illusion. Of course, we give them some facility. Their married life is that facility. Oh, you want some worldly pleasure? All right, get married. But you'll see, it's a yogi. It's an austerity. It's not really a pleasure. There's no pleasure in the material world. The only pleasure is to connect with Krishna. We have certain responsibilities towards our family and our society. How can we just ignore it? You don't ignore it. You perfect it. You have a responsibility towards your parents. Make them Krishna conscious. You have a responsibility towards your spouse, your kids, your family members. We don't say give up responsibilities. We say perfect your responsibilities by bringing Krishna into the relationship. That's what we say. Just like I have a disciple here. Hare Krishna Das seated here. He made his mother and father devotees. Now they got initiated today, you see. So his father is seated beside him. This is his father. He got initiated today, Murli Manohar Prabhu, you see. So instead of neglecting his parents, he made them devotees. So the whole family can go back to Godhead. So this is how you should do it. You don't neglect your family. You take better care of your family than you did before you were a devotee, by making them Krishna conscious. Why our enthusiasm becomes low in devotion? Because you're not taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. If you take the order of the spiritual master as your life and soul, you will never lose your enthusiasm. If you try to make it on your own without a spiritual master, you're going to be up and down. But if you'll accept a spiritual master and take his order as your life and soul, you'll always be enthusiastic at every minute for all of your whole life. How can he behave good with the Vaishnavas who are no good? Well, wait a minute. The Vaishnavas who are no good? He's no good. How can he be a Vaishnava? Of course, there may be somebody posing as a Vaishnava with tilak on the nose and Kanti Malu is actually a demon in disguise. That can happen. Yeah. But a true Vaishnava is a sadhu, a saintly person. A real Vaishnava who commit offense to some senior Vaishnava. Well, those who are offensive, they're not really, if they're a Vaishnava, they're called Kanishta Adhikari, materialistic devotees. So Prabhupada explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if there is a devotee like that who's offensive, that means he's a devotee in the mode of ignorance. You should respect him from a distance and don't get too close to that devotee because it's not good association. That happens sometimes. How can be determined for taking initiation? Well, you have to understand initiation is what I need to actually fully connect with Krishna. So you should be very enthusiastic to get initiated. There's so many nice gurus in this country. Let me choose one of these gurus and become a disciple. You should be very enthusiastic to do that. Understanding this is required for me to get out of this material world and go back to Godhead. Krishna will not accept me unless I'm a devotee of a devotee. Do you know that verse from the Adi Purana? Any of you girls know the verse from the Adi Purana? Ye me bhakta jana partha, na me bhakta shtate janaha. Mad bhaktanam shaye bhaktas te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, if you're my devotee, name bhaktas. You're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So you better find a devotee that you can become a devotee of that devotee. Otherwise, Krishna says, I don't know you. Tilak on your nose, I don't know you. Kanti mala, I don't know you. Sari, I don't know you. Bowing down before me, I don't know you. If you're not a devotee of my devotee, I don't accept you as a devotee. Krishna says that in the Adi Purana. So in the beginning, you should take some time. Don't jump in blindly. Take some time. Study Prabhupada's books. Understand what are the qualifications of a bona fide spiritual master. You see? You need to take a little time. Don't rush in like a fool. There's that saying, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. So take some time, study, hear a lot of lectures, become learned, and then select your spiritual master and go for it with enthusiasm. Prabhupada said before he would marry a girl, he wanted to have a husband first. I mean, before he would initiate her, before they would get married, he wanted them to be initiated first. If there was a couple that wanted to get married, you'd say, okay, today's the initiation and tomorrow's the wedding. So initiation is a very important thing. Your first commitment is to Guru and Krishna. Husband is less important. you accept a husband, it will help you in your relationship with Guru and Krishna. You see, that's the way, that's the order of priority. Guru and Krishna are more important than husband and family. Guru and Krishna are the first criteria. If someone is feeling unhappy, what he or she can do? That's very simple. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You just chant and Krishna will bless you with His mercy. Should I leave behind all responsibilities towards my husband? No. Mother? No. Mother-in-law and others become a devotee of Krishna? No. You become the best wife, the best mother, the best daughter-in-law by bringing Krishna into all of those relationships. We don't tell you to artificially imitate the gopis by running down to Keshiga and leaving, neglecting your family. But within your heart, you should say, I belong to Krishna and nobody else. Within your heart, that should be your mood. But externally, you should be a good wife, a good mother, a good daughter-in-law. But within your heart, actually, my only true shelter is Krishna. I'm simply maintaining these relationships in the material world out of kindness to these people who have helped me in different ways in this material life. I want to reciprocate the love they have given me, even though it was not perfect love. I want to reciprocate the love they've given me by staying in that relationship with them to help them become Krishna conscious. Now I have one last question here and that's it. Loving an animal. Is it being Mayavadi? No. Mayavadis don't love anyone. They don't believe in love. It's all one. Therefore love cannot exist. Mayavadis don't love anyone. My parents don't support me for it, but I still fight for working for them, helping them. When it comes to loving and serving Krishna, I don't fight that much as I do for animals. Then how should I serve Krishna and care for animals at the same time? Well, there's an interesting story. You know that little creature called the slug? It's a very gross creature. It's like a snail without a shell. It's very grotesque little creature, a slug. So my god sister Govindadasi, there was a slug crawling. She was with Prabhupada. She actually invited him to come to Hawaii. She was a pretty bold girl. She said, Prabhupada, it's the mango season in Hawaii now. You come to Hawaii. Prabhupada loves mangoes. So Prabhupada came there and actually, it wasn't the mango season. She lied. She tricked him. Got him to come to Hawaii. So anyway, but Prabhupada kindly came anyway. And there was a slug crawling in the room. And Vinavasa went, ooh, a slug. Gross. Prabhupada said, chant to the poor creature. So Govindavasi was chanting Hare Krishna. He was being kind to the poor slug and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Prabhupada told her to be merciful to the slug and chant to it so that the slug can become blessed with the holy name. So actually, if you have some animals around, be kind to the animals. Now, we cannot imitate Lord Chaitanya. You know, in the Jarakanda forest, he got all the animals to chant and dance. The tiger and the deer were kissing. Can you imagine? They're kissing each other like lovers. The tiger and the deer were kissing. It was amazing that the Balabhadra Bhattacharya, the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya, was amazed. What is Lord Chaitanya doing with all these animals? He has the tiger and the deer kissing each other. And they're all chanting Hare Krishna, the animals in the forest. Now, we don't have that kind of potency, you see. But at least you can chant to the poor animals, give them some prasadam, you know. So we should be kind to the animals. Actually, I'll tell you a little animal story. That will end it here. Yeah, we're going to end it here now. So this is the early days in Mayapur. And in the evening time, you know, no dogs are allowed in the temple, right? Dogs can't come in. So, anyway, all the devotees went for prasadam, milk, hot milk in the evening, you know, some evening, hot milk in the evening. Everybody cleared out of the temple room. So when everybody left the temple room, some dog comes in. He goes and he takes darshan of the deities and offers his dandavat to the deities. So, you know, be kind to the animals. You never know. It might be a devotee who fell down and now he's coming back to get devotee association so he can become a human being in his next life, you see. You never know. An animal might be actually a fallen devotee who took that animal birth and now wants to come back to devotee association. Okay, so we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much. And I want you girls to take this process very seriously. I want you to do your material duties nicely in your school. Do your material duties nicely with your parents or your job, whatever you're doing. But understand all these things are secondary. The most important thing for you to do in your life is to awaken your dormant love for Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah.